Welcome to the Own Your Choices, Own Your Life podcast. I know you are here wanting to change and rewrite your story. You are desiring to step into the impact that you know you are here to create. I am here to guide you with the proven tools and strategies used by myself and our speakers to support you in taking radical responsibility in your life and learning how to own your choices to change your story. My name is Marcia Van Weinsberg. I am a storytelling business coach, master NLP trainer, speaker, podcaster, and 7 times published author. My clients have found freedom and purpose from overcoming their shame stories and learning how to share them with the world. I am so grateful you are here. Let's get started. Welcome back to the show. Today we are speaking with John Lawyer. John is a spiritual guide and coach, and he shares his story from desert combat zones, 12 years in Kuwait, Iraq, and Afghanistan, to a deep battle within. John transformed from soldier to spiritual seeker. He acts as one of several guides for Kishar, which is a nonprofit online spiritual community for people to share their journey and explore their own unique spiritual path. John is an omnist and believes in the validity of great human thought from around the world and across time. He offers individual spiritual guidance and coaching services as part of his spiritual community. This was a really interesting and deep conversation, which I love having because it's funny, I don't always think of myself as the traditional spiritual person, and we got into talking about what is a spiritual moment, what is a spiritual breakthrough, what does that look like, and I loved it. John shared his story of what those 12 years as a counterintelligence agent and in desert combat zones, coming home wounded with physical trauma and PTSD, and then feeling completely unsure of what to do next. And during that time, over the last couple of years, he had his own spiritual awakening, which led him to feeling his purpose was to create a spiritual community based on human kindness and caring for others. I absolutely love this conversation, and I would love to see more of this energy out into the world. Hello, John. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Marcia. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. So you have a lot of interesting parts of your story that we want to dive into. And because of your story, the work that you do today is incredible. So tell us a little bit about the work that you get to do today and what lights you up the most.
I love the way that you say that you get to do today, right? So I feel like the work I'm doing today is, I call myself a spiritual guide. I'm also a seeker, but I'm really a higher purpose and transformational coach. And myself, my wife, and another friend of ours run an online digital community that's a nonprofit that is a spiritual space for people that kind of know where they're going, and some people who are looking to see where they want to go. And regardless of your background or your philosophy, you know, you could be Hindu, you could be Christian, you could be an atheist, it doesn't matter. And you can come and we can have a conversation about it and help each other, but we don't have to define what each other have to be, you know, that kind of thing. So that's kind of like the cliff notes of it.
So I love that. We can support each other, we can connect with each other, but we don't have to define who we are in specifically. What does that mean? And why is that important to you?
I think what it really means is that each individual is empowered to decide what's best for them. Because I think that, you know, in modern spirituality, religion, however you want to call it, sometimes we get locked into dogma or to the way things have to be or should be. It's a deeply personal choice. And it's something that I feel if we were more open about, we would have people walking around out there that were all more kind of aligned in their mind, body, and soul, because our society would teach people that that's this great thing, you know?
There's so much that I love that you're saying there, and something that hits me in a sense that, like, I think I'm far more deeply spiritual than what I even say that I am or realize that I am. Right. But I do feel like there's so much room for, like, we're allowed to be different, but I also feel like, could we, how do I say this? That it is about a sense of like being good humans, like putting that forth, space for others to grow, and how can we collectively support and contribute each other, even if we might be different.
Yeah, that's what it's about, right? And I think if you look at different philosophies, different religions, whatever, however you want to look at it, you know, everything teaches loving kindness, right? Like we're taught that, we are taught that as part of whatever belief system we're raised in usually. But it's almost like it's this abstract thing, like, oh, be loving kind and be and love your neighbor. But then when we go out and we see our role models and our people in our community, our parents, our teachers and stuff, we don't always see them doing that, right? So, yeah. as we're kids. And so we don't see people loving their neighbor, and we don't see people being kind to one another. We don't really see people being kind to themselves. And I think that's a huge part of it too, right? That self-love.
I was just going to say that. I feel like it's, I mean, it's really important that we can't give something to somebody else that we don't know how to give to ourselves first. You know, it's so interesting. I can pick on women for a second, just because I work with a lot of women where they are like, but I give and give and give to everyone else. I'm like, but your well's empty because you don't give it to yourself first. You have to be able to give it to yourself first so that you can give it to others. And they're like, no, I'm really good at it. And I'm like, you might be, but imagine the depth that you could give if you could learn how to give to yourself first.
Yeah. You know, we always talk about we only use 10% of our brain, which I don't think that's true. I think that's actually been proven false. But like, we think we're kind to ourselves, or we think that we're kind to other people. But yeah, what we could be for ourselves and then for others, because when we're okay, when we're grounded and centered, and then when we're peaceful within ourselves, when we're happy and joyful within ourselves, then everyone in our life's going to live better. Our children, our spouses, our friends, and everybody, really, our coworkers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So when you say spiritual seeker, is that something you have always been?
No, I really haven't. I've always been someone that's been curious about the world and wanted to see it and experience it. And I've always been a lifelong learner, but not in the spiritual realm. It wasn't anything that ever, I was raised Southern Baptist, and that was, you know, interesting. And in central Oklahoma, small town, central Oklahoma. So I saw a lot of politics in the church. I saw a lot of power struggles in the church. I never really saw God in the church, you know? So my mom talked about the God in many names, even though she was raised Southern Baptist, and so was my dad. They were pretty liberal, open-minded people. Mm-hmm. And so I always felt like it wasn't just like it was Christians and then everyone else was going to be like conveyed off to hell or anything like that. You know, it always struck me as odd. I spent a lot of time in the hallway of Sunday school, like banished, you know, from class, you know, because I was asking questions I probably shouldn't have been asking, I guess. But
There wasn't room for questions, right? Like I really feel there was not room for questions.
Yeah. And that's so back then I was curious about religion, but you know, once I got older in my teenage years and I went off to the army, I didn't really ever think about God. And then after 9/11, and I was so busy all those years after, like the first 15 years of my adult life, I probably spent 12 years in combat zones. And so I kind of forgot about God. Like, I didn't have time to think about it. And so really when I had this, you know, when I came home wounded, and then, you know, mentally and emotionally, and then I had some physical trauma too. It took me years to heal. But so when I had that moment, it was over 2.5 years ago now, I wasn't expecting it at all. I was not on a spiritual path. And for me, that's an interesting thing in the spiritual community I found. I didn't know how to talk about it, because I didn't know the vocabulary. I didn't know the history. I had to read a lot. I had to study a lot, because I had this moment of understanding and clarity within myself, mm-hmm. kind of an awakening type thing, but I didn't know how to talk about it. So I had to go out and learn how to be able to talk about it to a diverse group of people.
So how does somebody go from 12 years in like Kuwait, Iraq, Afghanistan, in actual battle, to becoming a spiritual seeker? Can you share a little bit about what that, like, I mean, I'm not, but to come from what you did, you said you came home wounded. There's so many things that you probably came home with that you had to learn how to heal through and be able to navigate. So any part of that you can share, because that is quite the shift, which I think is beautiful, but I would love to be able to share a little bit with the listeners on how that went for you.
Sure. When I came home, my whole identity was my job, was who I, you know, I was a counterintelligence, had been a counterintelligence special agent. And I was the kind of person that when you walked into a room, people wanted to know what I had to say. And I made decisions, and I was good at making decisions. I was good at leading. And so when I came home, you know, I had been telling men and women where to go and targets and planes where to go and all that kind of. So like, life was very dull when I came home. It was like this non-moving gray thing for me. Mm-hmm. And I didn't, like I said, I didn't know who I was, and I knew that I was broken, and I knew I needed to heal, but I didn't even really know how to start that process. And so it was, I went to the VA and asked for help, and I got some help there. I ended up being paired with a therapist that studied Eastern modalities in medicine, and which is pretty uncommon in the VA system. And she taught me mindfulness and some stuff that I couldn't really wrap myself around wholly at the time, because I wasn't in a place where I could receive it, but it did help some. I think it started things rolling in my brain, in my soul. I came home in 2015, and I would say for the next like 6-7 years, it took me to heal. To, you know, time helps. But kind of before I had my spiritual moment, I did come to a point where I was so wrapped up about things that were possibly going to happen tomorrow, and all these things that had happened yesterday and the week before and the year before and the decade before. I did let go. I had this kind of surrender, and it was spiritual. I didn't know at the time, but it was this deep surrender where I'm like, you know what? I don't care anymore. And that wasn't like, I didn't want to live. It wasn't that kind of thing. It was, I'm just going to let go of everything because I'm attached to all this stuff and it doesn't mean anything. And I think that really helped me find myself a couple years later.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that. I really believe that, you know, we talk about the word surrender and we say it's like you just have to surrender. Well, it's not an easy thing to do, obviously. I actually think it's one of the last things that we do. And we do it because we've tried everything else. And it's like, wait, I can't do this. I can't manage, fix, control, do this. Maybe I'm not supposed to. And so I feel like surrender is, you know, when people that I get a chance to speak to who walk through a difficult thing, they are almost always in a point where it's like, I had to surrender and let go. But I literally had to check every other box on the page before I got to that point.
Yeah. And I was juggling PTSD and hypervigilance and OCD and anxiety and depression. And I have Gulf-Wolf syndrome from a physical perspective. They don't really know what that is. They just know that it's bad. And migraines and, you know, all this stuff physically and mentally. And in my brain's been rewired so that, like, you know, biochemically, I don't get excited at things as much because I had so much excitement for so long. Mm-hmm. I got to a point where I was just like, I can't with this anymore, you know? And I think once you get to that point of surrender, it is not easy. Letting go is one of the most difficult things that we can do. And I think letting go is not this thing. It's not this thing that happens overnight. It's not this thing that is a permanent thing either. I think that's one of the things we forget when we talk about spirituality sometimes, and people don't understand when they're getting started. It's like this continual process, right? That you do, but then you have to loop back and you have to keep doing it. It's like when you forgive someone, you forgive yourself either way. Like, you don't just say it and do it. You have to actually check back and be like, hey, are you still holding feelings against yourself or that person? And you have to actually move that process forward to actually let go of that attachment.
I think you just hit on something that's really powerful there, because there is this misconception that once you have that figured out, it's easy for you. It's a little bit of a trigger for me that I'm always working on, in a sense, because a lot of people will look at it and say, but it's easy for you. And I'm like, but that's your lens. I've never said it's easy. I've never said it's easy. That's your lens of how you're viewing. And I think it's safe to say, like, we're all walking through something in some way, shape, or form. And the lessons that we're learning and how we're navigating through it, we still have to go through that experience almost every single day. Like it's yeah. not something that's a one and done. And I just, I appreciate you, you sharing that in the way that you're doing it, because I think that's just putting a different spin on, you know, surrender. And many times a day, I'm like, wait, can I control that? Is that mine? Nope, definitely not mine again. Here we are again. Like we're in the same spot again. But I think as humans, it's interesting because when we have that moment of recognizing, can I control this? Or why am I doing this again? A lot of times we stop and shame ourselves for what we're doing.
Yeah.
We criticize, we judge ourselves, we shame ourselves, which only keeps us stuck in yeah. our cycle. So is that something you have had to find a way to navigate and work through those experiences?
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a process of, what always comes to me is awareness. Mm-hmm. Like the more aware we are of the things that are in our life, that are in our mind, that are in our consciousness, the yeah. easier it's going to be for us to say, oh, I'm aware of this now. Like awareness is this huge thing.
Yeah.
And I think along with awareness comes acceptance, right? The two big A words for me. And you have to be aware of it to solve it. Mm-hmm. And then you have to have some acceptance for a lot of things. You have to, like, I want to tell people, like I grew up, and my favorite quote was "Life's too important to be taken seriously" by Oscar Wilde. And I lived that way. I was kind of a bum in high school. I just hung out. I didn't go to school a lot. But I joined the army and they made me go to work and I went to war and I took life way too seriously for a long time. And I was fully dedicated to my job and I treated it like a religion and, but I was good at it and I helped people. But I took life way too seriously. And then now I want to tell myself, I want to tell people I'm this calm, chill person. And I am that. But I'm also this wound up, anxious person that takes life too seriously sometimes. But I have to accept that. If I accept that, I can say I'm both these things. It's okay to be both these things.
I love that you just did that. I think that that is a really, I love the piece that it's, you know, we have those parts to ourselves and like we are both. It's very much like I can be very level-headed, respond well, do the things, surrender, let go. And I can be a freaking hothead sometimes that I'm like, yeah. whoa, that's not my best side. I'm just going to say it's not my best side. And when that not so favorable side comes up, I'm almost always not taking care of myself, not listening, not doing yeah. things that I, like, it's like, there comes back to ownership. That I can see I'm not doing what I need in order to give myself a fighting chance with what we're walking through.
Right. Oh, yeah. I think you nailed it. That's modern spirituality. That, because it's how do I live this alignment of my mind, body, and soul? And it sounds great to go take the spiritual path and be on the spiritual journey. And it's peace and kumbaya and all that. Right. And there's that aspect of it. But how do you live that walking the path of your everyday lifestyle? You've got your spouse or your children or your friends or your job. And so how does that all line up? And so that lifestyle piece of things for me is super critical to that intersection with our spiritual path and journey, because it's impossible not to lose sight, because most of us aren't going to be monks living in the foothills of the Himalayas, like staying Zen all the time. It's not possible. Not if you're going to be a quote unquote normal person. Normal is a state of mind, right? But most of us aren't going to live that sequestered life where we're able to be Zen like 23 hours a day.
No, not at all. And I feel, I don't know the stat off the top of my head, but like the amount of information we are bombarded with in a day is more than what somebody, is it like even in the early 1900s, would have received yeah. in their entire lifetime. Like we are bombarded with so much information. So if you just picture being like sifting through all the pieces and things are coming at you nonstop, if you're not feeling in a grounded space, it's like you're getting knocked left, right, and center yeah. all the time.
Yeah. You have exactly. And so if you're not sleeping right and eating right and you're taking care of your body and moving in some way, then you're not going to be grounded and centered to be able to handle all that stuff. And really, that comes down to choices. Like, I think people forget that as we move through life every single day, every moment of every day, every single moment's a choice. So, and we literally write our own story. Like, I remember, like, I was getting out of the Army and I was deciding what to do with my life. And I realized, like, no one was going to tell me what to do. Like, my parents, and like, it was my complete decision. But we, you know, we write our own story. We're not stuck. We can literally get in our car or we can walk away and go live wherever we want to live and do whatever we want to do. I mean, there's massive power in every single moment of our life because we have this choice. If we're stuck, we're choosing to be stuck. From a larger perspective, from a systemic perspective, there's poverty, there's all this stuff. But as an individual, we have that choice. Like, there's the ability to walk out or walk away.
I 100% agree with you. 100% agree with you. And I want to know, what do you do, like, in your community space or when people come to you and they're like, but you don't understand, John, I don't have a choice. Because I see it and I hear it.
Right.
And I know I've said it. So How do you help someone who says, but you don't understand my story and I don't have a choice?
I think every single person is different. So I would try to use my inherent abilities to, like, interact with people well, to figure out what is really bothering them and for them, because they can help themselves. I think everyone can help themselves. It's just about sometimes they need people to help them help themselves. And so it's really about, okay, what's going on in your life? Where have you been? Where do you want to go? And are you happy today? Like, are you enjoying the journey today? Because if we're not enjoying the journey today, then we're not living. If we're always worried about getting to that goal tomorrow or the goal a week from now or a year from now, we're always moving towards stuff. But if we're not enjoying the process along the way, then, you know, we aren't living. We're living according to someone else's script. We're not writing our own story. And mm-hmm. So for me, it's talking to that person. What I'm really interested about with people is, are you living your higher purpose? Are you living your dharma? Like, what do you want to do? Like, what lights you up? What gives you energy? What can you not wait to do the next day when you go to sleep at night? Like, is that involved in your life? Like, not just, like, in a perfect world, you would be doing that as your job or vocation, right? But even if you're not, are you doing that as your hobby? Are you doing that with your friends and spouse and children or whatever? So what's your higher purpose? What's your dharma? Do you know what it is? Because some people have no concept that it even exists, a higher purpose. And then if you know what it is, or, you know, are you living that aligned with your everyday single life? You know, and, like, I think that's a huge starting point, because to me, everything goes back to that.
It does. It does. And I really feel like when you can get to a space of, I think that one question, I was listening to a meditation the other day, and it was talking about, like, if you had all the money in the world, what would you be doing? And I actually had a moment where I went, exactly what I'm doing right now. Like,
yeah,
I
exactly. Actually,
and it was just a feeling of, like, wow, that feels really good. Would I take more time off and travel? Yes. But would I be doing what I do now? And the answer is yes, it is.
That's the answer. And if that's not yet, if the answer to that question is not I would be doing what I'm doing, then you need to, most people need to really examine what they're doing in life. And if you look at purpose, I was reading a book by, it was a New York Times bestseller. I think it was called The Search. Anyway, it was this guy that studied people who found their way, you know, and it was interesting to see. It was people from all walks of life, but it almost felt like most people who found their purpose were successful doing something else. They had financial security, and then they went and did what they loved, and they found a way to make a living doing it. But they had financially secured themselves first by running a cleaning business, or, you know, doing having a bakery, and then they ended up figuring out, well, I don't want to do this. I want to do this other thing. But now I have the financial means to do it. So I think it's interesting to see how people end up finding their purpose. And I think a lot of people think, I can't do work. I can't make a living doing what my higher purpose is. And I think a lot of times that's not true.
Mm-hmm. That might also mean that maybe you have to do other things while you are doing, like, what, something that you love and lights you up. Right? Like, it has to be something else that you love that you do. Like, my husband, for example, for the longest time didn't love what his job was, but he then picked up CrossFit and competing and doing, so it lit him up in other ways. Like, you find things outside of your job, and then that eventually led to doing a job that he loves. Like, it's so interesting.
Right.
Because it shifts the energy, right? It can shift the energy when you're doing something that you love doing.
And that, I talk to people about that. There's almost this formula, and it's complex. It's like, if I'm making high five, six figures or whatever, whoever it may be, okay, that means I'm not happy doing that. But what I've found is doing that and accepting that has allowed me to go do this thing over here that I do love. And so it's, there's a balance. Like some people, it might be making almost no money and just making room and board and riding horses and taking care of cattle or taking care of, you know, where, you know, living in the, by the beach, you know, whatever it is. There's almost this really complex algorithm that you have to figure out. Where are your levels of acceptance, and how much are you getting what you need of your purpose?
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. I love that. And so how does your formula work?
Well, I'm all in. So, I live my purpose every day. It's my job. Mm-hmm. And I love that's what it is. Like I get to come on and have conversations with people like you and talk to people in our community and help people. And, when I had my spiritual moment about 2.5 years ago, like I understood very clearly, very instantly what my higher purpose was. And it was to help people help themselves, to find their light, to find their wholeness, even if they didn't see that they were already whole. They, you know, I know that they are, even if they can't see it. And I felt like if I could help someone find their way, their own way, faster than it took me to kind of wander through the desert and the swamp, then that's a good thing. And I have been so much happier the last 2.5 years deciding that I'm going to live my purpose every day, that I'm going to go do this. And it's this very peaceful, calming thing that is very joyful. And it makes people around me, like I said, when you lift up the whole world around you, when you lift yourself up, it's the most important thing.
It is the most important thing. I love that. Can I ask you, you've shared about surrender. You shared about your spiritual moment, the work that you do now. What's a spiritual moment? What does that look like? And maybe you can share a little bit of yours, but for anybody listening, there's not one way. There's not one way.
Right.
I don't want you to think you're doing it wrong if this is not how you're doing it. But I'm just curious in being open, because I had a very intense spiritual moment, which was a turning point for me. And I often say that, you know, a lot of our biggest moments come when we're on the floor. Like I had a moment on the floor and I just felt like life had smacked me right down on the ground and I didn't know how to get up. And that was probably one of the most profound moments I've ever had. And I needed to have it. It really did help me to shift. But some people might look at that and go, is that a spiritual moment? But I'm just curious what your thoughts are on that.
No, I love that you say it could happen in any different way, because it does for different people. For me, I was laying in bed. It was late at night. My wife was asleep next to me and the universe suddenly made sense to me. It was a very like oneness of everything, that we're all connected, deep roots in loving kindness. I felt like we're all saying the same thing, regardless of religion or spiritual construct, that humans throughout history, across time, are, and they're around the world, are, we're all very aligned in what we're saying. We're just so invested in our perspective in it that we can't see that. And I knew what my higher purpose was, like I said, and I knew that I wanted to go start an online nonprofit digital, you know, spiritual community. And I felt like there was room. I was like, you know what, there's room for authentic, meaningful connection in the digital world today in the 21st century. There's time and space for us to be connected. And it all came to me. It was like a lightning bolt. And like I said, I wasn't on a spiritual path. So I was kind of like Bambi, you know, like really unsure of myself, no footing, you know, and because I didn't know how to talk about it. So I had to go educate myself. And I think I read 60 books in 4 months. And
oh, wow.
I wanted to be able to talk to anybody from any walk of life, regardless of their background and religion, so that I could understand, you know, Hinduism and Christianity and New Age spirituality and indigenous faith and stuff like that. And I mean, I'm not where I want to be, but I've learned a lot. So that's what it was for me. It was just a really profound moment. And then I went out and I told myself, I said, if you're going to go create this spiritual community, if you're going to go this, if you're saying you're going to do this, I said, you know, you've had these moments, John, where you've woken up before and you've said, I'm going to change my life tomorrow. I'm going to get fit, or I'm going to go learn this or do that. And then you don't do it, right? But I'm like, you're going to do this. Like every single day, you're going to do this. And I have. And I think that's the magic. I think that's why it's so meaningful, is because I was able to move forward and do that. And I think that's the thing. How do you take that, those moments, and then go out and then live them and carry through with them, you know?
Hey, well, and I'm going to tie that back to something you said earlier, in the sense that it's like choices. You make the conscious choice every day that this is who you are. This is what you do now.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What I really want people to understand, you can do anything. It's not just something people say, like you and I say, tell people this. It's not something we just say, like, you just make it up and do it. I mean, in Afghanistan, our unit wasn't supposed to be doing what we were doing, like, but we couldn't get anyone else to do it. So we just went and did it ourselves. Mm-hmm. And we weren't chartered to do that, but we were really good at it. And like, no one, you know, we just called ourselves a task force. So then suddenly we were a task force. We're like, okay, we're Task Force Black now. Okay. And we put it on our Cisco phones, and we put it in our, you know, we introduced ourselves as such, and then we just went out and did it. And that's no different than anybody can do at any point in their lives, at any day. Just say you're this and you'll be that. People may laugh at you at first. People laughed at us when we first did that in Afghanistan. And then a year or two later, we had the respect of every single unit on a 50,000 person base. And we were the panda, and everybody wanted to see us and come and talk to us and figure out how we did it. And anybody can do that. Anybody can just make it up and do it. And if someone laughs at you at first, who cares? It doesn't matter.
I love that you shared that, because I even think back to when I first started and said, you know, I want to be a podcaster. I want to have a podcast. Like, that was 2017. I had people say, like, what do you know about that? You don't know anything about that. I'm like, I don't know, but I can figure it out. And it's just something that is important to me. And so it's something that I do, but it's an identity. And when you can take that identity and say, like, how would I show up if this is who I am? What would I do if this is who I am? How would I make the choices and decisions all day long if this is what I say is important to me?
Right.
And then you keep doing it consistently so that you do become known for that, because you do it consistently.
Yeah. If you do it, you will live it, and then you'll wake up and that's just who you'll be.
Yeah.
And it is this really, truly amazing thing. And that's, to me, that's meeting the universe halfway. I mean, people talk about law of attraction, manifestation, the secret, right?
Yeah.
That stuff is real. You just have, but you can't just manifest a Ferrari. Like, you've got to go out and meet the universe halfway.
Yeah.
You know, you've got, and if you're meeting the universe halfway, the universe will always cover that other, you know, 50 yards. They will meet you at midfield.
I love that you said that, because I've always been, a piece of me where when people say, you know, you sit and you're not manifesting right. And I'm like, oh, I can't get into that, because I kept feeling like there has to be more, like there has to be some kind of action, aligned action, moving in the direction of what you want. And I 100% believe in what you just said, in the sense that I believe the universe meets you halfway. I think the universe sits sometimes and it's like, is she serious? Like, is she actually serious, or is she just talking? Is she serious? Oh, she is serious. She's actually doing something. Now there's things happening. It's like, oh, here's an opportunity. I think that if we're not in action and moving, that opportunity can come by. And if we're not moving, we don't see it, or we don't feel ready for it. And so we just let it pass right by. And I feel like it is our responsibility to do the work to show that we mean what we say and we're authentic in that.
Right. And that's belief, right? Like, that's believing.
Yeah.
And that's Ted Lasso and The Sign, right? Like, you got to believe.
Sorry, I love Ted Lasso. I seriously do. It's like, was one of my favorite series, but yes, 100%.
Yeah.
So your community, what does it look like? How big is it? Like, what's involved with it?
Yeah, it's growing, and it's kind of been, it's been definitely been a labor of love developing it. And it's called Kishar. It's named after the Sumerian goddess of Mother Earth, or Gaia. A divine feminine thing. And it's an app on the phone. It's a desktop on your browser. You can talk to other people. There's daily meditations, there's daily affirmations, there's reminders to go move and get out and move around yourself. And we have discussions, we have Zoom calls and round tables where we discuss stuff just like you and I are talking about right now, and do that every week. Journaling prompts. It's a place where it's not Facebook, it's not Instagram. It's kind of walled off from the rest of the internet, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
There's no trolls, there's no ads. It's just people being real. And it's lightly moderated. We don't have a lot of rules. Just basically be kind, be open-minded,
be
empowered within yourself, and figure out, like I said, that alignment of mind, body, and soul. And so that's our community side. We have a couple of different monthly memberships. And then we also do individual spiritual guidance and coaching. Like I said, I'm kind of a higher purpose and transformational coach, or like whatever you need me to be. And that's what we do. All the profits go back into the community. It's like I said, it's nonprofit. So it's something that we're trying to do to give back to the world. So I was part of this dark military industrial complex machine for so many years. I'm trying to give back to the world now.
That's beautiful. And I believe that you say, how did you describe it? Dark complex.
Dark military industrial complex.
Yeah. And so being part of that, not bad, not good, taught you that I want to do something different, right? And this is right. What you're doing now. And it's beautiful that you give back in that sense. I feel like, especially in this time and era, like people are craving connection. They're craving connection. Where, as I say, we are the most connected, disconnected society ever. Like we are so grossly connected on our phones, but so disconnected from people. Right? Connected. So I love that you have that space because, you know, it's also interesting. I mean, through podcasting, through online space, through other things that I've done, I mean, I've connected with people across the world. There are people everywhere.
Right.
Everywhere. It's so interesting because people say, but I don't have those people in my life. Like you, Jim, like you have to go find them. You have to go find them.
Yeah, you really do have to go find it. And again, that's that choice, right? Just like, it's deciding that I can actually have a really cool conversation just chatting with someone via text on an app that's a human that is interested in the same things that I'm interested in, or on a Zoom call. Mm-hmm. Like it's real. You can feel energy through Zoom calls. So, you know.
100%. Some of my like good friends I haven't met in person. I actually think it's hilarious because we have not met in person, but we've spent a lot of time together. And there will come a time where it's going to happen. But this is the beautiful piece about the online space. Yes, there's a lot of things that might not be positive, but that's not in my world. Like that's not part of the world that I am. I mean, the algorithm shows us what we're looking for. So,
yeah, exactly. And that's the thing, right? We have like you said, so much access to information. We just have to learn to filter it, right? Mm-hmm. That's part of the process is learning how we're going to filter life around us.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So how can people connect with you and learn more about this?
Yeah. Our main website is kishar.org. It's kishar.org. And that's kind of the entrance to our community. People can join up there and find individual coaching if they need it. And our socials are there. We're at Kishar Spiritual on most socials. And we have a pretty cool YouTube channel. Called Peace on Your Journey. And it's got open public, you know, videos on just how to kind of live that spiritual life in the 21st century.
That is beautiful. I'll make sure everything is connected in the show notes. I love this connection and it's just real heart to heart conversation. So thank you so much for being here, John. If I can ask you, what lesson in life are you most grateful for?
Yeah, this is a really hard question.
I know.
I would go back, take it back to kind of what we talked about towards the beginning, which is to love yourself, really. First, you have to love yourself first. You have to love yourself the most, and then you'll love everyone else more. So you got to do it.
Love yourself first, love yourself the most, and then you can love everyone else more.
That's right.
Powerful. That's powerful. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much, Marcia. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of Own Your Choices, Own Your Life. If you love this episode, I invite you to tag me on social media with your takeaways or share it with a friend. Please, if you feel called, take 30 seconds to leave a 5-star review and I will be forever grateful. Until next time, remember, when you own your choices, you truly own your life.